Shvius, Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph, 9:1. We now begin the ninth perek, and the topic is on Sfichim. Sfichim, I'm going to go with Artscroll translations for this whole Mishnah, actually, because it's a lot of particular plant translations. And Artscroll always goes with aftergrowths for Sfichim. But let me explain what they are. Sfichim are plants that are often cultivated. They're edible for human consumption, but a person didn't intentionally plant them, you know. Plants grow by themselves. Nature has its way of doing things. There's plenty effort in terms of agriculture and horticulture of people cultivating plants for consumption, and that's the normal way of doing things. Even in the time of the Mishnah, people would, you know, obviously sow their oats and their wheat and their barley, and they would harvest them. But if you, and that means if you have, for example, a wheat crop and you harvest the wheat this year, so next year you basically will have nothing growing in your field. But not quite nothing, just basically nothing. That is to say, the wind and the birds and, you know, dropping a few kernels of wheat here and there will cause for some wheat to grow up in a year, even if you didn't plant intentionally. So that wheat, which would grow in the field, quote-unquote, by itself, meaning you didn't plant it, just the wheat kernel ended up there because of last year's wheat crop, thanks to the wind and the birds. And so there was some wheat which grew. That's called Sfichim. Now, the Torah is a little bit ambiguous in as much as the psukim that talk about Svichin, the psukim altogether talk about Shemitah. If you look in Vayikra Chaf Hei 25, one pasuk Hei says, Es Svich Kitzir Chalo Siktzor, the Svichin, the aftergrowth of your harvesting, you shouldn't harvest. And then the next pasuk Vav says, V'haisa Shabbos Arts Lachem La'achla, the fallow land, that which it grows, shall be for eating, lacha, for you, and also for your servants, your animals, etc. So one pasuk says you may not take the svichin, and one pasuk says you can eat which grows by itself. So the way that Chazal understand the resolution of that is that you can't intentionally and in the normal way cultivate produce in the Shemitah year. That's the restriction. You can't guard access and restrict access to your things and so on. But that which grows, you know, by itself, you actually could harvest and eat, and that's what people will be eating also. So that's Fichin. Now, the restriction, that's the Doraisa. Now, Midurabanan, the problem is that since we're saying now that a person actually can eat produce that grew in the seventh year, as long as it grew without being planted, Midoraisa. If that's the case, so then that opens the door for a lot of tricky people to do a lot of tricky shtick, and that's what was happening. Chazal observed that so many people were essentially flouting the laws of Shemitah. They were planting illegally, they were harvesting illegally, and they were claiming, oh, this is Sfichin, this grew by itself. And to put their foot down, the rabbi said, therefore, no one's having Sfichin. We're not eating Sfichin in Shemitah year. We'll do without. That, of course, pulled the rug out from under the tricky folk. And obviously the rabbis felt that was very important because it came at the significant expense of people having even less access to food in the Shemitah year, but they felt that was essential. Now, there are some qualifications, however, to that rabbinic requirement of not, or rabbinic prohibition against eating Sfichin. One is that the kind of, this is the thrust of our Mishnah, the kind of produce which grows totally in the wild, and normally people don't go to the efforts of cultivating them because they're just not very valuable crops, and it's not worth the effort. So those kinds of foods, and that's the topic of our Mishnah, are not subject to the rabbinic prohibition against eating Sfichin. And that's what our Mishnah will say. There are some other exceptions too. Most importantly is things that anyways wouldn't grow in a single year, like if you have a tree. So the tree puts out fruit. Obviously, no one's going to plant a tree in the Shemitah year legally and then get fruit that year. It's impossible. So restriction on tree fruit and nuts, etc., there's no, that grew by themselves in the seventh year, that's no problem. That's not a Isra Sfichin. There's an important machlokus in the Rush and other Rishonim and the Rambam regarding plants that started growing in the sixth year and then continue to the seventh year. The Rush, the Rosh, the Bar Tanura all learn that that kind of food is unrestricted, and one could eat quote-unquote Sfichin that started growing in the sixth year because it's evident to everyone that it started growing before Shemitah came in. It wasn't planted illegally. But the Rambam, very importantly, Paskins, no, that's not the case. In any case, that's not the topic of our Mishnah. Our topic of our Mishnah is simply the lists of the kinds of produce which can be safely assumed to not be worth people's time and money to cultivate intentionally, and therefore they can be safely assumed to be the kind of svichin that grew really on their own, and there's no reason to restrict their consumption, and therefore one could eat, purchase them and eat them in the Shemitah year. So the Mishnah says, and I'm going to use Art Scrolls translations here. The truth is, however, these translations, even if you look at the Art Scrolls notes, are subject to a great amount of dispute. In any case, these are plants. Hapegam, which may be rue, some kind of medicinal plant. Vahayaruvin hashotim, wild asparagus or some other kind of plant. Wild, though. Vahachalogligis, Art Scroll translates that as purslane, whatever that is. Kuspar shibaharim. Kuspar is coriander. If you eat biltong, if you're South African, that's the spice they put on the biltong and they dry it out. South African beef jerky. It's also was used to describe how the man looked like. Anyways, but shibahari means the mountain kuspar, so it's wild kuspar. By the way, kuspar in modern Hebrew is cilantro. And that's because it's the same thing. Okay, cilantro is the plant, and the seeds are the seeds of the cilantro plants are what are called coriander seeds. You also have v'hakarpas shibinaharim. Karpas, it's karpas, like from the Pesach Seder. Arshko goes with the primary translation of being celery, but then they themselves say other Rishonim, Machronim learned it to be maybe parsley, whatever, cress, whatever the case may be. But the point here is that it's not the generic kind of karpas that people did eat, but shibinaharas that grew along the riversides, and that being the case, it's like the wild and inferior quality karpas. Vahagarger shel afar, this is rocket from the dust. Rocket is like a green, it's delicious, and people use it then and now and cultivate it, but this is not the usual rocket. This is the That's garden rocket. This is the wild, dirty meadow rocket. All those things, paturim and maestris. First of all, they're exempt from maestris. And that's not a shvias topic. That's just maestris, tithing. The reason why is because if you recall, when it comes to the requirement to tithe the produce, they have to meet certain criteria. One of the most important criterion is that it has to be produce that is nishmar, which means not left hefker, not left ownerless in the wild. It means it's guarded and cultivated, and access to the public is restricted because people take ownership of it and want to cultivate it and claim it for themselves and profit on it. So things that are not nishmar, that are not guarded, that is left for the animals and whoever else wants to take it, those kinds of produce are exempt from all tithes, trumas and maestras. The rationale is basically based on a pasuk. The pasuk says that I'll summarize it. Since the tribe of Levi didn't get a piece of Eretz Yisrael to cultivate their own produce, and of course, don't forget that throughout almost all of Jewish history, from the time of the giving of the Torah till just a couple hundred years ago, everyone essentially was a subsistence farmer, more or less, lived off the land, and everyone, was an agricultural agrarian society. So if you didn't have land, you had nothing to eat unless someone provided for you. So the setup is the Levim have other responsibilities in Jewish society, but they're not going to be farmers, so someone has to take care of them. Therefore, we have to give them access to our food or give them, trumas and maestras, as the case may be. And that's the din. But the Torah is trying to take care of the fact that the Levim and Kohanim are left without land and have sort of restricted access to food otherwise. But when it comes to hefker produce, they're not restricted in their access. They have equal access to wild growing purslane and rue, whatever, as anybody else. And that being the case, the din is halach lamaisa. If you take something, as my son did just this week, some wild za'atar, hyssop, whatever, the spices from the hills, there's no requirement to take trumas and maestras. And not only is it exempt from trumas and maestras, which is the first point of the Mishnah, but also the more relevant to our topic, v'nilkachin makol adam b'shvias. There's no restriction on buying produce that grows in the wild, like these kinds of inferior produce, and from anybody. You don't have to be afraid about the restrictions of Svichin and breaking Shemitah, because people just don't do that. People don't take the time to cultivate these inferior products because it's not worth their time and money. She'en ki yotze behem nishmar. because the Mishnah says these are not, you can tell right away these are the kinds of foods that aren't normally cultivated intentionally and guarded, and that being the case, they're exempt from the restriction of Svichen. Rabbi Huda Omer, Svichi Chardal Mutarn, Rabbi Huda adds the list that when it comes to wild mustard, it's also not restricted. So mustard is a crop that people do cultivate, but it grows really wild, and therefore it's very inexpensive and not really worth people's while, says Rabbi Huda, to break Shemitah over because it's such a poor, you know, inexpensive and unviable crop. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, and right about now, I'm speaking in April the 4th today, in the beginning of the late winter, early spring, if you drive anywhere, look on the side of the road, throughout the whole middle of the country, you'll see like these plants with the little tiny yellow flowers everywhere. That's wild mustard. It grows throughout the whole country wildly and in great quantity. And that'd be the case of Rabbi Huda. There's no reason why people would be breaking Shemitah to cultivate mustard. And that being the case, he says, Svichi Chardal Mutarn, you can, there's no restriction on buying or eating wild growing mustard, even though it's a crop that is cultivated because it's so inexpensive and sort of people wouldn't break Shemitah for that. We don't suspect people of doing averas and cultivating mustard. It's not worth it. But the halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Huda for what it's worth. Halacha is like Tanakama that mustard is like any other svichin and is restricted. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol svichin mutarim. Rabbi Shimon takes the other extreme. He says all svichin actually are permissible. When you buy from someone, you can just assume safely that he isn't cheating the system. That's okay. Chutz mesvichei kruv, with the one exception of cabbages, she'en kiyotzavem b'yirakos sadeh, because there aren't cabbages like that that grow in the wild. That is to say, there's no such thing as a wild cabbage that in any way resembles the kind of cabbages we cultivate. And that being the case, for sure those would have been illegally planted. So those you are the one exception which you can't buy. But the Chacham Omrim kol svichin asurim, they say no, there's a general isser, prohibition against eating svichin. Unlike Rabbi Shimon, it's across the board, and the halach is like the Chachamim.